14 years ago today, I preached my first two sermons at Fellowship Baptist Church. And so I'm preaching the same two sermons that I did 14 years ago. This morning, I preached the sermon I preached 14 years ago in the morning, and tonight, I'm preaching the same sermon I preached 14 years ago on Sunday night. Now, some of you, how many of you were there 14 years ago? Was anybody? Brother Harold was, Linda. All right. The three of us. Huh? No, you can't go home. You got to stay. I've updated it, Brother Harold. Besides, you ain't got that good a memory. Oh, you got notes. Okay. But some of you, when you hear this message, and I've preached it before a couple of times, but when you hear this message, those of you that hear it for the first time, you'll say to yourself, I wonder why they kept him. Oh. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to read the first four verses. Let's stand together as we honor the Word of God. I'll read these verses, then I'll pray, and then I'll preach. Here's what the Bible says. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And let's pray. Father, thank you for each one that's here tonight. I believe you have us here by divine appointment. I believe you have something for each one of us. And I pray that as we listen with our hearts and with our minds, that Holy Spirit, you would speak to us, that you would work in our life, you would maybe point out some things to us that might need changing, and that we'd do what's necessary to change it. I pray, Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, tonight would be the night they decide to receive him. Just bless the next few minutes that we spend together. Make it profitable for us and for you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Of course, the book of 2 Timothy is a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Timothy was a young man that was already saved when the Apostle Paul met him. He was brought to the Lord, at least that's implied in this letter, by his mother and his grandmother. Who can tell me what Timothy's mother's name was? Eunice. Eunice was his mother. Who was his grandmother? Lois. Eunice and Lois. And so they led him to the Lord. And again, this is not part of my message, but grandmas. Let me just say a quick word to all the grandmas here tonight. You have an influence on your grandchildren, and you can point them toward Jesus, just like moms can. And so use that influence wisely. So on one of his missionary journeys, Paul saw Timothy, and he was impressed by him. And he sort of adapted Timothy. He took him on his missionary journey. He taught him. And I don't know if Timothy was called to preach before he went with Paul or as part of the journeys that he made, but Timothy was called to preach, and he became Paul's son in the gospel. In fact, in one place he refers to him as his son in the gospel. He was a very profitable man. Paul said on another occasion, hey, when Timothy comes to you, receive him as you would me, because I have no one like him who I could send to you. He represents me, and he conducts himself in a way that brings not only that's not only pleasing to the Lord, but pleasing to me. So I'm happy to send. He said, "Don't worry about his youth. He's a young man, but he's knowledgeable, and he conducts himself well. And so receive him as you would me." Now, when Paul writes the letter of 2 Timothy, he's at the end of his life. Probably, I think it's the last letter that he wrote. Don't know if he wrote Hebrews or not, but some people think that he did. And so I don't know if that was after or before, but at least the books that we know that Paul wrote, 2 Timothy was one of the latter of those books. And Paul's at the end of his life, and he's giving some advice to his son in the gospel, to one that's going to carry on, to one that's going to continue the work. And so Paul is using this occasion to instruct Timothy. and to tell him what he should do. And in verse 2, he says this from that chapter that we read, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he says, "Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine." Now, I want to look at that word instant tonight. If you go back to the Greek, and I know a little Greek, heard me say this before. He runs a restaurant down on the other side of town. But I have a Greek dictionary, and I can look up Greek words in that dictionary. And that word instant comes from the Greek word epit, which means to stand. It means to come to a place and firmly plant your feet and don't move. Stand. It means to come to a place and firmly plant your feet and don't even lean one way or the other, forward or backward. Don't sway, but stand firmly. And so what Paul is saying to Timothy, he says, look, in the end times, there's going to be people that will want preachers to preach to them what they want to hear. They're going to have itching ears, and they're going to want you to soothe that itch by giving them soothing words, not pricking their conscience, not upsetting them, but giving them a message that they want to hear. And Paul says to his son in the gospel, don't you do that. You preach the word and you be instant. In other words, you firmly plant your feet on that word of God and don't move. Don't lean to the right. Don't lean to the left. Don't sway back and forth. But come to that point and stand. I was thinking about this afternoon, this morning in open assembly for Sunday school. We sang the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. That's a good place to stand. In fact, there's several things that we ought to come to a point, and we ought to plant our feet. We ought to say, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what anybody says. I'm standing on this spot, and nobody is moving me from it. The world may change and the church may change, but there's some things that I'm going to come to a spot and I'm going to stand and I'm not going to be moved. One of those things is the Bible is the Word of God. Amen. It is. The Bible is the Word of God. It doesn't just contain the words of God. It doesn't just contain the thoughts of God. This book is the Word of God. And they can try to change it by different translations, and they can change the words, but I'm going to take my stand that this book is the very words that God wants us to have. He said, you've heard me say this before, I believe in tittle inspiration. Jot and tittle. He talked about, he said, don't change one jot, don't change one tittle. God put every jot where he wanted it, and he put every tittle where he wanted it, and he put every word where he wanted it. Let's not change it. Let's stand on a spot and say we're not going to change the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. I'm not going to move from that. Now, here's another thing we ought not to, and by the way, this is just my introduction. I haven't got to my message yet, so just hang with me. Another thing we ought not to move from is that Jesus is the only way to heaven. There ain't no other way to get to heaven, pardon my English, but the truth is there. There ain't no other way to heaven. You don't get to heaven by good works. You don't get to heaven by baptism. You don't get to heaven by church membership. You don't get to heaven by turning over a new leaf. You don't get to heaven because your mama and your daddy's a Christian or your grandpa and your grandma's a Christian. You get to heaven with a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. That's the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You don't get to heaven except by way of the cross. You don't get to heaven except by way of the grave. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul says, that's the gospel. That's the good news. That's how you get to heaven. And all these different churches and all these different religions, they can try to change it. They can add to it. And they I told you weren't spitting. A zone up here. They can try to add to it. But we ought to take our stand and we ought to say, I'm not going to move from that. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Here's another thing we ought to stand on. Sin is sin. Doesn't matter how the world tries to dress it up. You can put a pig in a dress and put lipstick on it. It's still a pig. And you can call sin all the fancy names you want to. Sin is still sin. And we ought to take our stand. We ought not to back off regardless of how the world wants to make people feel good. We still ought to call sin, sin. Abortion is not a mother's choice. It's a sin. Homosexuality is not a lifestyle choice. It's a sin. Living together before you get married is not some new age kind of thing. It's a sin. And we can go down the line, and I don't have time to do that tonight, but sin is sin. And doesn't matter what the world tries to call it. Doesn't matter how the world tries to dress it up. We ought to come to a spot in our life and say, this: if this book calls it sin, it's sin. Not going to change. One more. Hell is real. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of the bottomless pit. It's a place of fire. It's a place where the worm dieth not. It's a place prepared for Satan and all of his demons. And all these different churches that try to say, well, hell is just a figment of somebody's imagination. It's really not real. God, a loving God, wouldn't send anybody that he created to a place called hell. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But if you reject Jesus, that's exactly where you're going, to hell. And all these different people can try to dress it up, and they can try to call it something else, but there is a hell. And this book says, the Word of God says, that if you reject Christ, that's where you're going to end up. So, and that's just four things to just sort of get you warmed up tonight. But there are some things in your life and in your relationship with God where you ought to say, hey, I'm firmly planting my feet based on this book, and I am not moving. I am going to be instant, just like that little Greek word means. I am not going to move to the right, move to the left. I am not going to move forward. I'm not going to move backwards. I'm going to plant my feet. I'm going to stay firm. I am not going to be moved. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast, unmovable. Two good characteristics that should describe any Christian. But in our day, the word instant has come to mean something else. My father-in-law inspired this message. When I surrendered to preach, I spent a lot of time talking to him, and he would tell me, and we would talk. I'd ask him, I said, where do you get your ideas on what to preach? He said, well, God will give them to you. You don't have to worry about it. You need to study, and you need to read the Bible, and you need to read books, and you need to listen to sermons and read sermons and things like that. But God will tell you what he wants you to preach. And so from that day till now, we did it a couple weeks ago when we went and seen him. When we get together, we talk about the Bible, and we talk about different sermons. And when I first surrendered to preach, he mentioned to me that he had heard a black preacher preach on this text. And he didn't remember any of the black preacher's points, but he says that this old black preacher got to preaching, and he heard him on the radio, and he said, be instant, that means be powderized. That's what the word instant means today, powderized. And we need to be powderized for Jesus. I said, well, what was his point? Powderized. What does that mean? Be powderized for Jesus. I mean, that's true. That's what the word instant means, isn't it? I mean, when you think of the word instant, you think of instant coffee. Powderized coffee. You think of instant potatoes. Little powder, a bag full of powder of potatoes. You add water to it and you get potatoes. Instant coffee. You add water to it and you get coffee. Instant oatmeal. You add water to it and you get oatmeal. Instant hot chocolate. You add water to it and you get hot chocolate. So he didn't remember any of his points. I got to thinking about it. Powderize, powderize, powderize. You know, there's some good truth. Now, there's some wonderful truth in what the word meant back in the Greek, to take a stand and don't move. But there's also some wonderful truth when you consider that the word instant today means powderized. And tonight, I'm going to give you four different things that came to my mind a long time ago that are still true and relevant today about what it means to be instant as we use the word today. So here's these four things. The first one is purity. purity. I have a cup, and in this cup, I have some instant coffee. Now, you can't see, but I have some. Can you smell it? Well, it's coffee. You can't see it, but it's coffee. So I have some instant coffee, and it's little granules of coffee. And if you go back to my house and you look at the jar that this coffee came out of, and you looked on that jar where it says ingredients, do you know what the ingredients are for instant coffee? Coffee. Duh. Just coffee. I mean, there's none of this niacin and all this other stuff they put in different food that most of us don't know what it is. The only ingredient in instant coffee is coffee. In fact, the jar that I took this out of says 100% pure coffee. No salt, no nothing else. Just plain old coffee. It's 100% pure coffee. Now, if we had a microscope tonight, and we took this little crystal of coffee, and we put it under the microscope, and we looked at it, and we studied it as a scientist would, we would discover that this little piece of coffee is made up of pure coffee. And then if we took a wee little scalpel, and we cut this one little speck of coffee in half, and we examine that under the microscope. Now, it's coffee on the outside. Do you know what it is on the inside? Oh, boy, that's right. It's coffee. I mean, it's coffee all the way around. It's coffee on the inside. There's nothing in here but one single solitary thing, and it's pure. It's coffee. Now, I think that's what God wants us to be as Christians. He wants us to be 100% pure Christians. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling." In 1 Peter 1:15, "But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation," or in all manner of life. What that word holy means is the same thing. It means pure. It means set apart for God to use. It means if you're going to be a Christian on the outside and on the inside. You see, if we're going to be instant, if we're going to be powderized, what that says to us is that we need to be pure. We need to be a Christian on all the outside of us. Our hands need to be Christian. What we do with our hands ought to please, everything we do with our hands ought to please the Lord. Our feet ought to be Christian. Every place we go, we ought to go places that will please the Lord. Our ears ought to be Christian. Everything that we let go in our, and you say, I know, well, Brother Darrell, there's some things that I hear that I can't help but hear. They sort of sneak up on me. And I can't keep them out of my ears. Now, I know you can't keep the bird from landing on your head, but you can sure keep them from building a nest there. And if something comes into your ears that's not good, that's not pleasing to God, turn it off. You don't have to listen to it. I mean, if you can't turn it off, then just do like this. I'm not going to listen to it. Shut it out. Same thing. You might say, well, there's things that come across my eyes that I can't help, but I mean, they're there. Satan puts them there before I know that I know what they are, and I know I shouldn't be looking at them. But then don't look at them. Turn away from them. Shut your eyes. Get them out of your sight. You decide what you look at. You decide what you listen to. Yeah, Satan may sneak something in, and he may throw something in, but you don't have to stare at it, and you don't have to keep listening to it once you discover it's wrong. Our tongue ought to be Christian. Everything about us ought to be Christian. But not just on the outside. It ought to be true on the inside as well. Our thoughts ought to be Christian. Every thought ought to be pleasing to God. Our motives, why we do what we do, ought to be Christian. Our attitude ought to be Christian. That's what God wants us to be. And when he says, be instant, be powderized, he says, look, I want you to be Christian. And that's, I don't want any of the other stuff in there. I mean, and by the way, anything else is in there is probably from the world. Huh? And the more of the world you get out of your life, the purer a Christian that you will be. And Jesus, and what God is saying, I think if we use that word instant from a powderized standpoint, is, hey, if you're going to be a Christian, then be a Christian all the way. On the outside, on the inside, be 100% pure. Get all the world out, throw it out, and live for me. We talked a few weeks ago. This body's not ours. We're bought with a price. It belongs to God. Philippians chapter 2, we're encouraged, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So God wants all of our outside and all of our inside to be pure Christian. Now, let me just stop for a minute. One of the ways, let's go back to this little speck of coffee. What if this little speck of coffee said, you know, I'm tired of hanging around in the coffee jar with all the other coffees. I think I'm going to go over and visit the instant potatoes. So he hops out of the jar and gets into the instant potato bag. What's going to happen to this little speck of coffee? Well, some of those potatoes are going to rub off on him. Huh? What if this little coffee said, I'm tired of just hanging around with all these other coffees. I'm going to go visit the instant oatmeal. So he hops over to the oatmeal bag. What's going to happen? Same thing. Some of that oatmeal is going to rub off on that coffee. And it's going to dilute him or her. I don't know if a coffee's a his or her. I don't even want to go there. But anyhow, it's going to dilute him. And he's not going to be as pure as he was. Now, let me give you a little advice on how you can stay pure as a Christian. Hang around other Christians. Hang around other people that are trying to do the same thing that you're doing. Don't go, if you're a coffee, don't go hang with the oatmeal. Don't go hang with the potatoes, because they're going to rub off on you. Say, well, I'm going to rub off on them. Yeah, you might, but there's going to be more of them than there are you, and you're going to get more rubbing than you do. Well, you're going to get more of them than they're going to get of you. So, if you want to stay pure, you hang around people that are trying to live for God just like you are, and they will increase your purity. All right. Boy, this is good. I like preaching these old messages. All right, number two. Here's something else that the word powderized teaches us. This little powder of coffee only has one purpose for its existence. Just one purpose. One purpose. And that is to go into a cup of water and turn that water into coffee. It's not going to go into that water and turn it into potatoes. It's not going to go into that water and turn it into hot chocolate. It's not going to go into that water and turn it into milk. It's not going to go into that water. They have instant eggs. I saw some at the grocery store the other day. It's not going to go into the water and turn it into eggs. It has one single solitary purpose, and that purpose is to go into a cup of hot water and turn it into coffee. Did you know that you, as a Christian, have one main purpose for your existence as a Christian? Now, let me shock you. That purpose, your purpose, is not to read and study the Bible. I think it's good that you read and study the Bible, but that's not the main purpose for your life. The main purpose for your life is not to come to church, although I think you ought to come to church every time the doors open. But that's not the main purpose for your life. The main purpose for your life as a Christian is not to tithe. I think you ought to tithe. I think you ought to give. And all of those are good things, and you ought to do them. But if we're going to be like Jesus, then we need to have one main purpose in our life, just like Jesus did. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I came to seek out those that don't know God, and I came to tell them about myself so that I could save them and take them to heaven with me. Now, Jesus did a lot of other good things while he was here. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He comforted those that needed lifting up. He strengthened those that needed weak. But his one main purpose was to seek out sinners and to introduce them to himself so that they would have a home in heaven with their Creator, God. And when God, or when Jesus gave us our instructions was that same purpose. He said, go into all the world and preach and teach. And tell them about me. Tell them how to get to heaven. Tell them that they're sinners. Tell them that there's a penalty for that sin. Tell them I'm the way to heaven. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's our main purpose. Now, we have other good things that we ought to do. We ought to be good fathers. We ought to be good mothers. We ought to be good husbands. We ought to be good wives. We ought to be a good friend. We ought to be good children. We ought to be good workers. And all those are good things that we need to do. But the one main purpose of our life as a Christian, the reason that God has left us here, is to go and tell somebody else about Jesus. Just like this coffee, the only purpose it has is to turn water into coffee. God has left you here because there's somebody that you can reach for Jesus, and he wants you to do it. So a single purpose. Number three. This coffee accomplishes its purpose when it submits itself to the will of the spoon holder. Let me say it again. This coffee accomplishes its purpose when it submits its will to the will of the person holding the spoon. What would you think if you went to the store and you bought a jar of instant coffee and you dipped a spoon down into that jar and you scooped up a spoonful of coffee and got ready to put it into the cup and all those coffees jumped back into the jar? What would you think? You would think, boy, this coffee isn't very good. I'm trying to make coffee and all these coffees want to stay in the jar. I want them to get in that hot water and do something. I mean, I want a Diane, I was talking to Diane in the kitchen this morning before Sunday school. She says, I haven't had my coffee yet. And you could tell. No, I mean, but what would you think? If you scooped up a spoonful of coffee and got ready to put it in your cup and all those little coffee particles jump back into the jar, I'd say, boy, this ain't very good coffee. What if they stayed on the spoon, but as you put it down into the cup, all those little coffees wrapped their bodies around that spoon, and as you stirred it, they just hang on to the spoon, and then when you pulled the spoon out, there they are. Well, they went down into the cup, but they sure didn't do their job. They're still on the spoon. What's the matter with these guys? Don't they know what their purpose is? Or, what about if you took a spoonful of coffee and you put it down into this cup and you stirred it? Can you hear that? And you looked, and your water was still water, and all that coffee was just lying at the bottom of the cup. You know what they call that? Dregs. You know what you do with dregs? You put them in the garbage. Huh? Or down the garbage disposal. That's what you do with dregs. They don't do what they're supposed to do. Now, I wonder how God feels about us sometimes. We're Christians. He wants to use us to carry the message of Christ. So he dips down into his jar of Christians, the church, and he gets ready to put us where he wants us. And we all jump back into the jar. I'd rather stay in church. I don't want to go out there. There's people that don't like Christians out there. There's people that make fun of you when you try to witness for Christ. I'd just soon stay right in here where everybody loves me and where we have a good time and a good fellowship. I'm learning the Bible. It's good to learn the Bible and it's good to have fellowship. But when God gets ready to put you somewhere into the world because he wants you to do something for him, you better go. Get out of the jar. That's why he made you. So Ephesians 2:10, for we are created unto good works by him that saved us. I'll get out of the jar. But I tell you what, when God puts that spoon in and starts stirring me around, I'm hanging on to the spoon. I'll come in contact with the world and they can see Christ in me, but that's it. When he pulls that spoon up, I'm coming up with it. Or worse yet, he puts us where he wants us and we sort of sink to the bottom and we become a dreg. If we're going to accomplish the purpose that God has for us, then we need to submit ourselves to him. And we need to say, dear God, if you want me over here, and if you want me to work over here, and if you want me to tell people about Jesus over here, then over here is exactly where I want to be. If you want me over there, and you want me to work over there, and you want me to tell people about Jesus over there, then over there is where I want to be. Not my will. I'll be honest with you. If it was my will, I'd just soon stay in the jar. Everybody likes you in the jar. It's comfortable in the jar. But you don't get nothing done in the jar. You don't make any coffee in the jar. Number four. The only way that this little... This is my last point. The only way that this little piece of coffee accomplishes its purpose is when God, or when you put it into a cup of water and it gives itself completely. It goes into the water and it disappears. It sort of gives everything that it is and it changes the water into coffee. I mean, if this little guy has done, or girl, whatever you want to call it, if this little thing has done its job right, after you put it into the cup and stir it up, you won't be able to find it. It has given all. It has dissolved itself. It has held nothing back. It has accomplished the purpose for which it was created. It gave all. Same thing is true in a Christian's life. The only way to accomplish the purpose for which God has saved us is to give all. Is to not hold anything back. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you don't need to turn there, but I want to read you a passage that Paul wrote, and he was talking about this same thing. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law is under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law is without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And then let me read verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. You see, if you don't run a race to win, you won't win. I mean, if you don't set as your goal, hey, I'm gonna run this race with all I've got. I'm not out here just to participate. I want to win. I want to accomplish what God has set me here to accomplish. And the only way that you can do that is to give all. You see, if we compartmentalize our life and we say, God, you can have this piece, and you can have this piece, and you can have this piece, and you can have this piece, but this piece over here, I'm going to hang on to for a while. I'm going to keep it for a while. You can't. I'm not ready to give you this piece yet. You won't run the race that God has set for you. As I mentioned this morning, there's a race, a particular race for every single one of us. They're all different. But if you say, I'm hanging on to this piece, I'm not going to let you have this piece, then you won't run the race the way God wants you to run it. The only way that you can accomplish what God wants you to accomplish in your life is to say, just like one of these good little pieces of coffee, I'm yours. If you want me to stay in the jar, I'll stay in the jar. But when you get ready to dip me out of that jar and put me into the world so that you can use me to change the world, then I'm ready to go. And you got all of me. I'm not holding anything back. I'm yours. So be instant. Be powderized. Be pure. Realize what your purpose is. You submit yourself to the will of God, and then when He puts you in a place of service, then give it all you got. Don't hold anything back. And then you can say, like Paul, when he came to the end of his life, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've run the race that God's want me to run. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this simple truth from your word. It's a challenge to each one of us. And I pray tonight that, Holy Spirit, you would challenge us, that you would speak to each one of us. All of us probably have some areas in our life that we haven't surrendered to you yet. We're hanging on to them. And I pray tonight that we, and I'm going to ask Brother Dick if we could sing the song, I Surrender All. And I pray as we sing it that would be our prayer. That we would say to you as we sing it, Father, I'm surrendering all. You can have all of me. Every bit. I'm not going to hold any piece back. You just use me. Put me in a place where you want me to serve and then use me and I'll give you my all. Father, I pray tonight if there's somebody here that's never received Christ, help them to understand that they have no hope from heaven apart from Jesus. Good works won't cut it, and baptism won't cut it, and church membership won't cut it. The only thing that gets them into heaven's gate is to know Christ as their Savior. And so tonight, if there's just one here that doesn't know Jesus, I pray they would receive Him. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. We'll give Christ all the glory. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.